What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you on this Wednesday morning. Well, an awful lot to do today. Obviously, the Eagles midweek. And, starting the process now, like gearing up for those Atlanta Falcons. Kirk Cousins on Monday night with the true home opener. But we'll do a lot today also on the Phillies because they won a game last night. It was an adventure in a lot of ways. I mean, they had a nice rally in the eighth to win it. You know, Ranger did not pitch well, which is an issue. There was an incident. I always like a good incident in baseball. I enjoy an incident.
I'm so with you, dude.
So we had an incident last night where, you know, a little fracas. So it wasn't quite a melee. Well, maybe it's a melee. I don't know.
Have you ever been in an incident?
I don't think it was a melee.
No. Have I been in an incident? Yeah, no. I've been in an incident. I say, hey, Richie, go take care of this guy. And then
been in an incident where you did that for
you
real?
You charged the mound before?
Well, I got thrown out of a basketball game for chucking the ball at a kid.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And then my football team in eighth grade got in a fight. I happen to be
incidenty.
I happen to be like Devin White that day and didn't travel to that road game, so I wasn't in that fight. Tell you what, that school was very lucky.
That does not count.
I think it was either Malvern Episcopal
if the hammer had been there, who knows,
dude,
what would have happened.
I would have cleaned clocks.
That
right?
does not count.
There's
at
some
all.
Kids lucky to be alive.
Hold on. And fights don't count in football games either, because you're all wearing helmets and shoulder pads and everything else. It is a fake fight.
Well, apparently
to some degree.
Apparently there was some guys that got their asses whooped. Not on my team.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Just keep your helmet on. Won't get your ass whooped.
Listen, number 23 had gone after us in basketball in 7th grade, and then when he was causing problems in 8th grade football, I was like, yeah, this guy's got to get
no
that
way.
Yeah,
was he an early bloomer?
I don't know. Well, he was a bigger dude, but
absolutely.
I don't know who
that was an early peak.
Well, like you, was he the other side's early peaker?
I don't know. All right.
Early peaker kids, man. They were good.
Well, you were probably
really
one of them.
Yeah, look at this guy talking.
Come on, man.
I was not one of the bigger kids.
I'm sure
all the
you
time.
Were better than other kids.
I was pretty good. Not at basketball.
Well, we know that. All right, look, 215-592-9494 on all of this. Rich, how are you, buddy?
It's great to see you, Joe.
You too, my man.
Arnold Schwarzenegger paid Warner Brothers $1 a year, still pays Warner Brothers $1 a year to keep his Mr. Freeze costume.
Wow.
That is a cool costume. That's a super awesome outfit. Thank you for the fact, Jimmy, by the way.
I wonder if that was in a contract. Like, what a weird
I don't know.
Stipulation.
He must somehow pay them, and they've set the number at $1, so $1 a year.
Very strange.
I wonder what he does with it.
So let's start.
Me too. Does he, like, put it on once a year?
Let's start Phil's, because we're going to do a ton on the Eagles, but last night there was a lot going on. So let's listen to how it sounded in the moment. It's now eighth inning. Phils have scored 5 runs in the inning. They've got a 9-4 lead after it was a 4-4 game. This happened late last night.
On the year, Castellanos is hit by the pitch, and he is not happy. The benches are going to clear. Harper's already at the mounds. Castellanos has been hit a handful of times this week. Dusty Wathan comes over with Brandon Marsh to move Harper away. The bullpen's clear as well.
I'll tell you this. I appreciate a lot what Bryce Harper did, John.
Me too.
Sticking
and
up
you
for
know
his
what?
Teammate.
Listen to what was just said. Castellanos been hit, what did he say, a few times?
A handful
of times this week. Yeah, that is something Bryce should be up in arms over.
Well, especially when it was as intentional. Last night looked really intentional.
It absolutely did. Yeah, it was intentional, and there's no way you can tell me it wasn't.
Yeah,
Bryce took issue with it, and I love that. This team, this just fits into everything else. My feelings about this team are all so strong right now. They are sort of where they need to be, whether they got there on purpose or not.
Yeah.
Last night was one of those fatalistic things that changes a season. Like that emotion that they discovered last night when Casty got hit, you can tap back into that emotion.
Well, so it's interesting. We had wondered, and we'll take your reaction on last night and Ranger and, you know, the incident, if you will, and all that. It was a punk move by the pitcher. It really was. Everything from last night on the table, 215-592-9494. Now, I'll tell you, I think the most significant thing last night was Ranger not pitching well, because I think that's more important for Game 3 of the postseason than any coming together
or
thing. Or Game 4.
Said it yesterday.
That's a possibility.
I'd go Sanchez in 3.
I get it. It's a possibility. But let's also broaden this out big picture. I mean, we had wondered when the Phillies lost it if they'd get it back. Now, it does appear they got it back. I mean, they had two exceptional all-time months. Then they had 2.5 totally mediocre months. There was around 500 for 2.5 months. And now, obviously, in about the last 3 weeks, they have surged again, which is great to see. So we'll ask you today, and by the way, 19 days, not days, but 19 games until the postseason. So this thing is starting to barrel toward us, and I mean that in a good way. Right, it's exciting, it gets a little nerve-wracking, but it's good to know they're playing good baseball right now. We'll ask you at 215-592-9494 to get on the record today regarding where you stand on the Phils. I mean, a bit of a roller coaster, but good ball now. We're talking Phils. John Ritchie, where do you stand in the big picture with the postseason now just 19 games away?
We are in such great shape. And as of last night, we had the best record in baseball.
That's right.
You know, we are ahead of the Dodgers, not just in games, but with the tiebreaker also.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how that matters. We're in good shape. Harper getting his power back. It feels like there are signs. And it feels like we've seen this before. 2022, Bryce Harper, toward the end of the regular season, it was, man, can he even get it to the warning track anymore? What's going on
with
this?
That's right.
And then when it mattered, it was there. You know, horrible power through the end of the regular season, and then it's like his hair lit on fire when the postseason came, and he just took off. In the second game, home run, we took off as a team. That was a springboard. I have not been worried about this team's readiness for October, and I think the last couple years have helped them be more ready this time around. The vets, this is their focus. This is their sole focus. We've got Topper in there. He's been there before. He knows how to do this. You got Dave Dombrowski. He's been there a couple times before and won it all. He knows how to do this. And, you know, John Middleton is paying appropriately for a championship squad.
Yeah.
And we know. I do have some concerns. You know, Rangers.
What's number one for
Rangers?
You?
Velocity and location were never an issue. Ranger was never an issue. And the only issue was, holy cow, maybe why is it taking so long for him to get here for spring training? Now, this late in the season, I thought we could depend on this guy, not just starting, but out of the bullpen. We've seen him do it all in the past. And now he's the one who can't quite figure it out. He's all over the place. His arm looks weaker. It's strange. And so, that's a major concern for me. I'm worried about guys like JT and Schwachtober also because they've now got some injuries that they're dealing with. You got Alec Bohm, who I am not convinced is the toughest guy in the world, saying his hand feels like he's getting hit with a hammer every time he's trying to swing a bat. That's not great. We need to get these guys ready to play physically.
Well,
that part worries me a little bit, but the mental focus, the acuity required, the fact that they've been there before, they know how to get this done. We are so talented. Thank you, John Middleton. I feel great about our team. And after this Rays game, after this last Rays game, think about the next 10 games. Seven are against the Mets. The Brewers are 3.5 games behind us. We got to win one game against the Brewers to win that season series. That really does matter.
To get the tiebreaker.
Yeah. We know that these tiebreakers matter. These tiebreakers, you look at the list, we're racking them up against these teams.
Well, and they're also 3.5 above Milwaukee right now, which is good. And James just corrected me. He said 17 games to go in the season, 19. So I gotta check my math next time I add up numbers in the morning.
Look, we're exactly where we need to be. We're not imposters. Teams fear the Phils, and they should.
So there's a lot of ways to take this, and I'm curious where you stand at 215-592-9494 in our fighting Phils. Almost fighting Phils last night. I mean, they were ready to go. And by the way, credit not just to Bryce for going to the mound, but the other guys for pulling him away. Because that's not a guy, one, you want to actually have going to fight.
It was the Rays players first, you got the shortstop. Thank you.
Trying to save their pitcher.
Yeah, and and two, obviously, you don't want to see him get suspended.
He would have gotten work, too.
So,
man,
Bryce was
coming in hot.
He was tech. So I'll say this. It's funny. Obviously, I feel a lot better about the Phils now than 3 weeks ago. As it relates to October, I'm both obviously really excited because we know how fun it's been the last 2 years when they were rolling, which they did for a couple weeks both years. But I'm also getting increasingly nervous. I don't know if this resonates with others, but here's the thing about nervousness for me. It's been a fun ride. It obviously is one of the better baseball teams and, frankly, sports teams we've seen around here in a long time. But I also know you know, once you get to October, it can end very quickly. And I don't want it to. I mean, there's that part of me that just wants this thing to keep going and obviously wants to see this group win it all. And I know that more often than not, they're going to have good teams the next 3 to 5 years. And I know more often than not, they're not going to win it all. Because it's just really hard to win all these playoff rounds. Now, I like them getting the bye because, you know, obviously I think that increases their chances to win it. But I also know this. I've seen a lot of great teams who got that bye in the last couple of years get clipped early. Ah, the Atlanta Braves, the Dodgers, right, the Yankees. So I know that it's a weird thing. Like in football, I am certain that the bye is an advantage. I'm certain of it. We're all certain of it. I mean, how can it not be? In baseball, you know, I if you ask me right now, do I want them to get the bye? I do. But I also say that with the caveat knowing that it kind of scares me a little bit. Like, if they get that bye, and they likely will, you know, like, I think they have to have a real simulated game. Not like a fake like, go play hardcore baseball with Zach Wheeler throwing darts and try to create a game as much as you can so you don't lose the edge.
It's funny to me how this matters for our baseball team but not for our football team. Like during the
preseason, practicing real football doesn't seem to matter to you. I'll tell you why. Because football players are used to playing in the season once every 7 days. Baseball pitchers are used to pitching once every five. I mean, a starting pitcher. And if Zach Wheeler has a good stretch off, like that's not great. It's not great. So, you know, that part worries me. I'd also say this about the team. Obviously, Castellanos and Stott have picked it up. That is great. That is great. Now, Bryce, we'll see. Are there signs, John, of power? There are some. He almost hit a homer last night. It was about as close as you can get. I don't think he's out of the woods, but you got about 2.5 weeks still to get that
We've
right.
We've seen this before.
We have, but it doesn't mean it always gets corrected. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
But it's Bryce Harper.
I am aware. Ranger, look, I've been on the record for a couple years now, well, other than when Reese left. He's my favorite Phil. I love him.
Still, he's your favorite Phil?
Oh, he's my favorite Phil.
He's kind of meager with his pitching as of late.
No, no, yes. I'll say this. As of now, I'm standing by Rangers the three. I know yesterday James said, and he said it again today, he's Sanchez of the mindset to go Sanchez, and Sanchez has clearly pitched better lately. I'm not going to move off Ranger yet. Now he's got a couple weeks to prove me right or wrong. Ultimately, I think Rob Thompson will go to him in game three.
You think he'll go to Sanchez?
Ranger. I will be surprised
or shocked. I don't think he can
if
it looks the way. If it
yeah,
looks
Ranger
the way
has to get better.
He looked last night. He can't be three.
He can't well, do it.
There's no way, man.
Sanchez is clearly a better pitcher.
Listen, first off, James, this is Rob Thompson. He can do it.
Well, that's a worry. I agree. Yeah. But he shouldn't do it. As of right now, again, Ranger can reestablish in the next 2.5 weeks or whatever, and then we can have a discussion. But as it is today, it would be negligent to start Ranger over Sanchez.
We will ask you after last night's game and obviously the last couple of months at 215-592-9494. As of now, who would you rather see get that third start, Ranger or Sanchez? Look, there's a lot that, and also, come October, they're going to have to figure out who bats fourth. You know, it's been Bohm most of the year. Castellanos has gotten hotter lately. I mean, you got the JT factors banged up. I mean, all right, all of this on the table, 215-592-9494. We're going to get to the birds as well. Your thoughts on both teams, both topics, Shield Kapati later in the show. Oh, well, good morning to all.
You really got me going. You got me so I don't know what I'm doing.
Little Ray Davey. Is it Davey or Davies?
Yeah. Davies.
Davies. Really oh, man, we would struggle if he was a Philadelphia athlete.
Why?
Archie Hawkins.
You can't remember.
Jeffries. Well, that's a different one. That's just pronunciation.
It's not different.
Yeah, it's different.
It's just pay attention to someone's surname.
Not my stuff.
It's their family name.
Their name's whatever
really
I call
it. It really does matter.
Whatever I call it is what your name is.
Joe DeCamera.
Sure.
Like, you'd hate it if I said your name wrong.
You think
I
haven't heard that a million times? I've gotten DeMarco. I've gotten a part of the male body as the first couple letters of my name.
I have a real problem with being a J-O-N.
People say that to me on Twitter, Seltzer.
Oh, yeah?
I've seen
male body, camera.
Like as a dig?
As a dig. Yeah.
Since when are you afraid to say that word, though? Because that,
I don't say that word on the air.
Not like that.
I don't say
when
that
it's
word
a
on
name,
the air.
It's a different thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, well, you can't. It's all about context, Devin.
Yeah, I mean, were you expecting me to say that?
What was that hand gesture?
The hand gesture was
what was that?
The hand gesture was
that was a hand gesture.
Well, that wasn't because
that was weird, man.
No, the point was
what makes you do that with your hands when you were trying to represent what you were trying to represent? You know what I mean?
I don't like that. All right, that was not the intent. 215. I talk with my hands. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's get. By the way, we're going to get to Sirianni on Hurts in a moment. What he said to us when he joined us yesterday on the show. Let's start with Patrick and Tabernacle. Again, what do you make of the Phils? Patrick, what's going on, buddy?
Morning, everybody. How we doing? Listen, you know, first of all, the Phillies game started for me last night. My wife actually questioning, and I thought I was going to jump out the window. She goes, why does Kyle Schwarber bat leadoff? I said, baby, don't. I said, listen, I surrendered to that. Her son Houston.
He does have the second highest on base percentage on the team. So
he also set the record for most.
I'm off that island, man. I'm cool with it. I said, don't even go there. But listen, I'm hoping, I'm really, really hoping that what we saw with, that whole thing with getting hit by, and listen, that, what's his face? Whitfield was in the news. Earlier.
Whit Merrifield. Yeah. Whitfield. Yeah.
There's another one.
Yes.
Yeah,
I like how you did that though. That's kind of like Brangelina. Yeah. You really condensed it.
But listen, I'm hoping at the end of the day, talking about Bryce Harper now. I'm hoping that really can help ignite some power, get some real fire underneath his. You know what? You know, because he's hitting the ball, but now let's show some power. And I don't know what's going on with him, but he's kind of getting close. I mean, I love these doubles and what he's doing.
Well, I think we do know what's going on. He's banged up in an area of the body, the hands, the arms, the elbows, whatever it is, the forearms, whatever all that stuff is that's affecting his power.
Well, I don't know what's going on. Like, is he going to be like this for the rest of the season? Is it that?
We don't know. That's right. And to John's point, it is very similar to what happened in 2022 in September.
Yeah.
And he turned it up. I mean, he found it right before the postseason.
And I can tell you, different sport from my experience, when you get to the postseason, you do everything humanly possible to get out there.
But,
and there are other ways you can help yourself
get out there. And Rhea, I'm going right to you. Sometimes you can try, and sometimes, like Blaine Bishop, you don't get it back.
No.
And you can hurt your team.
Totally. And you lie. He tore it, he said, after many, many months later on the first play of the game.
Yeah, that killed the Eagles.
And they were done.
That killed the Eagles.
And so, Michael Lewis was playing way better.
I know he was. That's right. Well, all right, Patrick, real quick, give me an answer. Big picture on the Phils, where do you stand?
We're big picture on the Phils, where do I stand? They're going to make some noise. Suarez in the three is definitely a question mark now. I've liked Sanchez, but listen, they're going to make some noise. I'm feeling more confident than I had.
Than a couple of weeks ago for sure. Patrick, appreciate the call. Let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. If you're thinking about making the switch to an electric vehicle, well, think Armin Chevrolet. Armin has incredible leases on the Blazer EV and Equinox EV. Together, let's drive. All right, poll question as of now. As Patrick just alluded to, as of now, who do you think should be the Phils' third starter in the postseason? Now, we're putting them in alphabetical order. Is it A, Christopher Sanchez, who has pitched certainly better over the last 2.5 months, or B, Ranger Suarez, who was the best pitcher in baseball in the first 2 months of the season? By the way, he's also been outstanding in the postseason the last 2 years, but has struggled lately. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and weigh in at 215-592-9494. And I'll throw one little addendum question into the mix here when we talk about Sanchez and Ranger. Do you trust Rob Thompson to make the right choice?
That's an important addendum, Joe.
Right?
It really is.
There's who should get it, but then there's also why they should get it and whether you trust Rob Thompson to get it right.
Is he the sole one making that decision?
I think so, but I don't know. Maybe not.
No.
Maybe not. All right, so all of that and more, plus, coming up in 1 minute, something Sirianni said it was yesterday. In 1 minute's time, Sirianni yesterday on Jalen Hurts.
When you're ready to propose and buy that forever ring, trust is more important than ever. And that's why I want you to go and meet my friends at Benari Jewelers. Engagement ring shopping is harder and riskier than ever. Be careful. You could end up with an inferior quality ring that you paid way too much for. With lab-grown diamonds and the myriad of ring styles out there, it's easy to make a mistake. But I'm telling you, trust Benari Jewelers. At Benari, they'll show you the inside secrets of the diamond business and how to avoid costly mistakes. Benari will show you how diamonds are priced and graded on the world market. Benari will teach you why the four C's are just the beginning of what you need to look for in a diamond. All this with a price guarantee that ensures you get the value you deserve. Free service for life and a 110% diamond upgrade guarantee. Get the education, the guidance, and the confidence you need at Benari Jewelers. Two showrooms, Exton and Newtown Square, online at BenariJewelers.com.
All right, so we had a chance to talk to Nick Sirianni yesterday, and obviously since the game there's been a lot of chatter about Jalen Hurts. I think it's pretty clear that, Hurts, his miscues were pretty big negatives. Now, he did a lot right as well. So I'd asked about Hurts to, Sirianni. He gave a long answer. I mean, really long, where frankly, I can tell you the first minute and a half, he's just kind of filibustering. I mean, I'm not ripping him here in this regard. I get it. He doesn't want to say directly, you know, like his inner thoughts. And I respect that because he shouldn't, you know, give us all of his thoughts. But when he finally, on the back end of his answer, kind of got into the teeth of addressing the Hurts thing, and the miscues, he got to this, still sticking up for him to a strong extent, but also laying some stuff out. Here's Sirianni yesterday with us on Hurts.
We got to take care of the ball better, right? Because that's the biggest stat that goes week in, week out, is how did you take care of the football? And so we didn't do a good enough job there either. And so it's us putting them in the right positions to succeed, and it's them being able to, and the players being able to execute. But those are the main things that we gotta fix with taking care of the football. But Jalen made some unbelievable plays in that game that without those plays, and did he make some mistakes? Yeah, but we all made mistakes in that football game. But without some of the plays that he made, particularly down the stretch of that 4 minute drive to with some of those passes to Devontae, he put us in position to win that game that we did.
All right, let's start with this. I thought it was a wise answer by the head coach, because he doesn't throw his QB under the bus, praises him in a lot of ways, which is worthy because Jalen did some stuff that was really great, but also doesn't spit in the face of the audience and say, like, nothing went wrong. So I actually thought it was a delicately balanced, proper answer by Sirianni. Let's get to this, John. The turnovers. You've been and still are a big believer in Jalen. How increasingly concerned are you getting with the turnovers? I'm not counting the snap that hits his belly because Cam Jurgens snaps it to him when he's not ready. I don't think that should count as a Jalen Hurts turnover. I'm on the record. I don't think that's fair. But the stuff in the passing game and the occasional legitimate fumble, are you increasingly concerned now that you see it seeping in this season again?
I am not increasingly concerned because I see other quarterbacks make mistakes too. I see Joe Burrow throw for 164 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. He did nothing. Squat-ta. He looked horrendous. That's Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is in a new offense with a new offensive coordinator. Yes, he's got incredible talent around him, but he tried to do too much at times and he made mistakes. It was a bad first game. But and even so, we won. He made enough plays when it mattered to win that bad first game.
He was part of it. There was a lot of other parts that contributed.
So much better. Moving forward, Kellen Moore is a good coach, a good offensive coordinator. He's going to put him in position to succeed, whereas last year he was put in position to fail.
Let me ask
That's
this.
A major difference.
John, let me ask this question to you. What week is it where if it's still like it was the other day, choppy, up and down, up
it's
and down?
It's going to be up and down throughout the year.
But it shouldn't be that down,
John. You got to have a week, man.
John, he can't have 34 interceptions this year. He had two the other day. There's 17 games.
Well, he also had four interceptable.
Really,
he had two others that should have been picked.
You can't have 68 different balls that could get picked.
No, John, you got to be real about this.
Like, you got to be realistic.
About what?
That's not the type of quarterback.
Well, I'm asking
he is.
This question.
He's been so good at protecting the football.
Not last year, he wasn't.
Hold on.
His career. That's been his strength.
Until last year.
Yes.
If it continues.
Last year was a disaster because the coaching was a disaster. Oh, his game fell apart.
Yeah, you're letting him off the hook.
No, I'm not.
Yeah,
His game fell apart.
Joe, I'll give it to you. Like
to
week five. If we're in week five and he's still doing this stuff, I'm going to, because I believe in Hurts too.
Sure,
I'm willing to give him some passes for his first game in a weird spot and all that. If it's week four, week five, and we're still seeing him put the ball in harm's way like that, I'm going to be really concerned about it.
Well, I'll ask that to everyone, especially those that are like the big defenders and backers.
You're really concerned about it. He is our quarterback.
Well, then he might not be the quarterback in a year or two.
I I'm telling you, this guy has what it takes to give us Super Bowls.
Okay, we'll see.
I believe that. And it will going. It will get rolling. This offense, with the way it's constructed with the O-line and Saquon and everything else, it's going to be like taking candy from a baby at times this season. Right. I'm excited to see the way that explodes the passing part. And when you decide to finally give the credit that our passing game deserves, because that's right around the corner.
All right, the Hurts thing. Where do you stand? 215-592-9494. Also, what do you make of how Sirianni answered that question? All right, so the Fightin' Phil's back with the best record in baseball. Dodgers lose yesterday, Phillies win. By the way, the Brewers win. So the Brew Crew remain 3.5 back of the Phils. I mean, we're coming down the stretch. Obviously, the Phils are going to be either the 1, 2, or 3 seed. By the way, the Mets and the Braves are in a hell of a battle for a wild card spot. And last night, the Mets lost and the Braves won. So we'll keep our eye on that as well.
They're tied.
Yeah, I know they are.
Yeah.
I know they are. Which leads to this question. John Ritchie, I'm going to you first. Who would you rather see make the playoffs, not miss? Who would you rather see make the playoffs, the Mets or the Braves? I'm asking for a very specific reason. John Ritchie.
Who would I rather see make the playoffs?
Uh-huh.
Well, it feels like,
This is why I'm going to be a great attorney, by the way.
The Braves have been depleted adequately with all the unfortunate injuries that I feel like I know more about them than I do the Mets at this point in time.
So
like
what's your answer?
Less power.
What's your answer?
He's filibustering.
I'd rather play the beaten up, banged down Braves.
Come on, John.
You're weak. You're saying you want to play
with
the
John
best
too.
Team
I'm with John.
You know for sure.
I would much rather play the Braves.
Devin,
the Mets are the best record in baseball since London.
Who would you rather see make it?
I would say ask me after the Phillies next series against the Mets.
Yeah, give an answer.
Nonsense.
I'm more likely to go Braves, Mets, because I don't want the Braves to be all out for revenge for the last two postseasons, you know?
Yeah, I do get that.
Like, so I think that'd be a motivation.
The reason I asked
is they can't beat us, though. They're
we own the Braves. I am not scared of the Braves.
Seltzer, like the Eagles owned the Tampa Bay Bucs until they did in an 0-2.
Exactly. I'm not scared of the Braves.
Well, I'm not saying I'm scared of them, but I'm aware the Phillies could lose.
You're scared
I've never met the Mets. The Mets have been the hottest team in baseball. Why would you do that?
By the way, I asked the question. I was trying to get Richie and Seltzer to say they were going for the Mets. And then
so you could have the...
Yeah, you losers.
Yeah.
You don't blame me for rooting for the Mets in 2000.
I guess that backfired.
It did backfire.
I don't think we've ever said we support the Mets.
No, you didn't.
Haven't you said?
Yeah, he has many times.
I said it. Because the freaking Braves... Because the Braves had won the world, had won the division, like... 77 straight years. So excuse me for rooting for the Mets in the postseason when they played each other. I'll stand on that wall. You need me on that wall. Sheil Kapadia from The Ringer.
Shame.
You want me on that wall. Hello, Sheil.
You rooted for the New York Mets?
Sheil! I hated him!
He loves Benny Agbayani to this day.
I did, and Jay Payton, I like that guy.
I saw
him in a bar one time, Jay Payton.
Good guy?
Yeah, say my buddy was talking to him for a while. Seemed like a good dude.
He lasted.
Your buddy was talking to him. Sure.
All right, let's talk some Bears football. How are you, Sheil?
Doing well, guys. How you doing?
Good, pal.
Super.
So, Sheil, it was an adventurous week one. What's your biggest takeaway from what we saw from the Eagles and Packers?
My biggest takeaway is probably the Saquon Barkley experience. I mean, watching it live was one thing. Watching it on film, I was blown away by how good this guy was. And it wasn't just the explosive plays. It was the little stuff. I mean, there are plays on film. You can pause them, and there's nowhere to go. And he gets skinny on an inside run in between two defenders and picks up, 6-7 yards on a play. So you had that. You had the explosiveness. You saw him as a pass catcher. And listen, I in the offseason, I was saying, I don't know if it's wise to spend $12 million on a running back when you've got other holes on the roster. And we'll see how it plays out all season. But, man, the film of Saquon Barkley was as good as any Eagles running back I can remember in a long time.
That's awesome. Yeah, no,
wow.
That I love it. I do. Shit, what'd you make of Jalen?
His decision-making kind of left a bad taste in my mouth in this game, if I'm being honest. Now, he had some high-level plays, some high-level throws, the touchdown to Barkley, the touchdown to A.J. Brown. But, he had two interceptions that were both on him, in my opinion, the one in the red zone. You can't have that in your fourth year as a starter, knowing the game situation, to make that throw at that time. I'm sure there were a lot of teaching points about that one, and there were two other plays where he had near interception. So this really could have been more of a disastrous game than the box score showed. So it was a roller coaster. You know, there were the last possession he was great on. He had the scramble. He had two very good throws to Devontae Smith. There were a lot of ups and downs, but certainly some things to work on with the decision-making that day.
Could you boil it down, Shiel, to why he was making some of those mistakes? Was it the kind of thing where he's trying to do too much. He's trying to take too big a bite. It's something that's we're familiar with as Eagles fans.
Yeah, that's right.
Watching our quarterbacks try to take too big a bite. How worried are you, Shiel, that this is something that will continue? I feel as though it is correctable. This is the kind of thing that you get into the film room and you work through, and it's like, yeah, Jalen, you see this, right? This is not the way we run our offense any longer. How do you feel about moving forward, Jalen, being better?
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that. I think looking at it in the past, his decision-making, it's not like that. It's been something we've harped on over and over again that, oh, my gosh, now there have been some moments here and there. But, yeah, I think it's something maybe first game he's trying to make plays. You're on the national stage. You know, you got to score a lot of points. Yeah. And you have some hiccups there. So I agree with you. It was one game. I'm not going to overreact, but certainly something to keep an eye on going forward.
How well did Jalen do with the calling out the mic, the protections, everything that went into that? There was so much consternation heading into week one. How did you evaluate him and Cam Jurgens working together to get those calls out?
Yeah, I thought they did a nice job. I mean, with that slippery field, it's hard to say, all right, how much was both offensive lines had good days in pass protection. You know, neither defensive line was really getting there. But I thought he did a good job. You know, they had the one errant snap in the beginning, and I think that's on Cam Jurgens, not on Jalen Hurts. And Hurts has a lot more to do with the line this year. I mean, they were running motion, pre-snap motion, at a very high rate in this game, way higher than any game last season. And I thought they did a nice job. Jalen Hurts did a nice job doing that. They did a nice job with the pass protection. So, yeah, I think in terms of that, the reviews were good for Jalen Hurts. And then Cam Jurgens, man, I thought he had a really, really good game. Watching the film on him, both in terms of pass protection was solid, but in the run game, I mean, he was getting after guys. And that was a concern for me going into the season was, is this offensive line going to be as good as it was in previous seasons?
Yeah.
Verdict? I give Cam Jurgens two thumbs up, and I thought the offensive line played well. I mean, Mekhi Becton in this game, I thought, had a solid game, and then you kind of know what you're getting with the other three guys. So, yeah, I would say two thumbs up for the offensive line.
Is that the largest offensive line in the history of humanity?
It is the largest in the league right now, wow. Right? And, yeah, I can't remember one that was bigger in the past. I mean, Mekhi Becton is a monster out there. When he gets his hands on you, it's just really tough for any defender to go through him, around him, whatever, because he's so big.
Is there a worry that the short yardage plan needs to change because the tush-push didn't look quite the same? I don't know what I would do, Shiel. You personally, if you had these players like Saquon to line up in the backfield, does he change your plans for tush-pushage, for goal line short yardage, or what do you think the Eagles' plans should be there?
I mean, it's a great question. It's a big question. They had such an advantage over the rest of the league. I mean, you watch these other games in short yardage, and teams are failing left and right, trying to do all kinds of things schematically. And it's a big factor, these high-leverage moments in the game where the Eagles haven't had to worry about it. And so,
what a joy to just be able to line up and do your thing.
Luxury, right? Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. So I think they ran it three times in this game, and they were successful once, and one of them was a fumble. So I'm not throwing it out of the playbook right away. I'm saying, all right, let's get some practice. What happened on those plays? Because you hadn't had live game reps of it with Cam Jurgens snapping the ball to Jalen Hurts and running it. So I think if you can use it, I would like to still use it because it is such an advantage. But yeah, if we're talking about two, three games in and you're not having success, then you need to rethink it and go to something else.
Shiel, I'm curious if this thought went through your mind during the game. If not, what you make of it when I say this. How is Bryce Hoff making more money than Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, it's the positional value in the NFL, supply and demand, all those things. It is wild, but even some of the wide receivers you look at that got paid, and then you look at what Saquon Barkley got paid. I mean, you have two, three number two number three wide receivers on mediocre offenses making more money than him. But that's just the way the league has gone. So who knows? Maybe it'll swing back a little bit if guys like McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley and some of these other backs prove to be big difference makers.
So what'd you make of Huff? I mean, obviously the lead up to that question is what'd you make of Huff?
Yeah, you know, it's the whole pass rush to me on both sides, I really had a tough time evaluating because of the field situation. Honestly, Bryce Huff probably slipped more than maybe any other player on the field in that game. So now you want more from him in his debut when you're paying him that kind of money. I don't know that he had a single pressure in this entire game, so that is a little concerning. It's also concerning that he didn't play a bunch of snaps. So obviously they were looking at it saying, all right, he's not our best option on all these downs. I think he played the same number of snaps or fewer snaps than Brandon Graham, which is not something we expected going into the game. But I'm not going to kill the guy after one game and that field situation. This Falcons offensive line was getting destroyed by the Steelers last week. So if we're having this conversation next week after Monday Night Football, then my concern level will be raised a little bit.
Is Zach Bond sustainable? Is 15 tackles with two sacks? Like, is this the kind of thing where the Falcons look at the game plan and they say, okay, we can prepare for that. He's just going to do this. We can stop this. Is Zach Bond going to continue to tear it up like he did week one, Shiel?
I mean, what a fun player to watch. Where did that come from, Zach Bond? I go, who is this guy? He's lining up all over the place on that interception for Reed Blankenship. Zach Bond drops in coverage and runs with the tight end. He kind of makes that play happen. He destroyed a drive in the second half. So is it sustainable? I don't know, but 15 tackles. I like that you can use him in a variety of ways. He was rushing the passer. He was playing the run. He's physical. He's athletic out there. He doesn't
more
you know,
physical than he was given credit for. Like all the big plays that he made, he's really good against the run, more than I would have expected.
Yeah, I mean, he was firing downhill and crushing guys and plays with a lot of energy. So I don't know if it's sustainable, but I know I want to see more after the linebacker play we've seen in this city for the last however many years. So, yeah, what a debut for him.
And Quinyon Mitchell, how do you evaluate that performance? It feels like this is just a slam dunk.
When Joe asked me that first question, I was debating between whether my big takeaway was Saquon Barkley or Quinyon Mitchell, because Quinyon Mitchell was fantastic in this game. And not just in terms of, oh, he looks the part and he can cover and he looks athletic. He had some really high IQ level plays in this game. I mean, they tried to get him in the red zone where he sort of had to fight through traffic to stay with his defender. And he made the play and forced a throwaway. He had a play where he was covering kind of a deep route and came off of it because he saw where the ball was going underneath and broke on the ball and had a pass breakup. So, man, Quinyon Mitchell, if you want to get excited about something about this Eagles defense, that was just about as encouraging a start as you could hope for from a first-round pick.
Hey, Shiel, let's sneak in one question on the division because that's, you know, what the Eagles got to win to you know, it's the first goal, obviously, win the division. So Dallas looked really good. Cleveland looked really bad. Did Dallas, in your opinion, look like a 12-win or maybe 11-win team again? They've won 12 3 years in a row. Is the challenge for the Eagles to win this division maybe a little higher and harder than we perceived as recently as about 5 days ago?
Yeah, I think that's fair because the Cowboys had such a bad offseason that I was ripping them, saying they're not going to make the playoffs. And then I watched them on Sunday and I said, they look like the same team we've seen that's won 12 games each of the last three seasons. So we all know the Cowboys have to prove it in the playoffs. They've choked there year in and year out. But in terms of the regular season and winning the division, Sunday was a pretty good reminder that they do still have a lot of talent on that team. And that pass rush specifically can be pretty ferocious.
All right, Shiel, nice work, buddy. Everyone follow Shiel's work, obviously, on Twitter, @ Shiel Kapati. And, of course, his outstanding work for The Ringer. Thank you.